Hey Potters, welcome to episode 311 of Cospod, the podcast for all things cosplay. Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year, yay. It's 2026, it's our 15th season. Good gravy, we've been doing this a really long time.
I won't make any jokes about that. Safe to say that we've definitely learned a lot.
I think that's an understatement. That's a vast understatement.
It's the nicest way I could think of saying basically what is being said, you know, in chat.
It's a new year. We have done many, many things. It is a chance for us to move on and do more cosplay things. I think the astonishing thing is, yes, for as long as we have been doing this, there's still something new to learn, that there are things that are changing. There are new materials and tutorials out there. It's wild that we could still keep going and still keep doing new things.
And as technology changes, there are new ways of doing old things, mm-hmm, all over again. Easier ways, faster ways, better ways of doing things. And so there are always not only new things to learn, but new things to experiment with too. Speaking of updates, we should get into that.
Yeah, I guess, because I don't have any cosplay updates. I know you probably don't either.
I don't think we'll have... Yeah, we won't have cosplay updates, folks, just because, you know, the holidays and we're spending time with family and basically not working on cosplay. So we don't have any cosplay updates. All this is going to be for the podcast and the website.
Just to kind of let everybody know, if you saw that the website was down for a week, we were in the process of doing some things with our web hosting services, but it's back up. Everything is running as intended. All the feeds and the podcast aggregators have been working. Last I checked, which was yesterday. But if for some reason or another you're not seeing that the feed is getting updated, let us know so we can go poke that aggregator. But as of right now, knock on wood, which I don't have anywhere near me unless I bend over and knock on my floor.
I do.
Cool. Amber's got it. Then we should be fine.
I got you.
Question mark.
Yeah. So if you saw errors, it was not you. You were not the problem. We were the problem. Mm. But if you do see any errors going forward on the website, please do let us know, because it means something broke and we can go fix it. We just need to know what it is. Mm-hmm.
So everything is exactly the same as it was in the old version of the website. I did have to remove the podcast player because it was causing some weird, funky errors that I did not want to happen. So once that got removed, we were fine. I'm trying to find an alternative because I have heard from a couple of people that they did like being able to listen directly from the homepage instead of going through our archive. So I'm trying to find an alternative for that.
Yep, we're working on it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, don't worry about it. We are trying to get those features back. Yep. Just it might take a little bit of time.
Yeah. And then other than that, our archive is almost done. Thankfully, finally, after all these years, it's hard because I'm now at the part of the seasons where we didn't have titles for our episodes. And so now I'm trying to figure out, oh, what am I going to do with this? Do I just label it as episode 20 or do I go ahead and put a title on it? And then that also means updating it on YouTube. So I don't know yet. I'm trying to figure that out. It's even funnier because our first season, this is back when YouTube only allowed 15-minute uploads. So like our first couple of episodes are like part one, part two, part three.
That's how old we are.
Ye olden times of the YouTubes. So it's been kind of a fun little trick of how do I want to compile this, or do I bite the bullet and finally just do a brand new upload of episode one, episode two, where it's all squished together. I don't know yet. We'll figure it out at some point, but the archive is almost done, finally.
We are also starting to look at the schedule for this year for the podcast for conventions that we'll either be going to on a personal level or whether we'll be press there. Right now, we're just kind of evaluating our options for right now. Mm-hmm. It's still kind of early in the year, and conventions are kind of moving stuff around even as we speak. And so you will see us in public, surprise,
yeah,
during the year at some point. Just we'll release that schedule when we have it.
Yeah, we're not sure where we're going yet, so.
Yes, if there are any conventions you recommend or that are looking for guests, please do let us know. Shall we jump into today's topic?
Yes.
Our heavy, heavy topic.
Our big, heavy topic that's going to be a chunky one. Lots of things to share, lots of things to talk about. It's a revisit of AI cosplay, something that we've talked about previously, but so much has changed in the course of a year that we felt like it was invaluable that we needed to bring it back up again and have a little bit more in-depth discussion about it.
So hopefully everybody already has seen what we're going to be talking about in the episode. But if you haven't, more or less what we're going to be dealing with is the generation of AI images. So images that weren't actually taken by a camera, they were produced by artificial intelligence relating to cosplay. So basically either putting on a cosplay that you did not make that was artificially generated, or changing your cosplay in some way beyond the use of, say, Photoshop. So that sort of thing is what we're referring to. Most of this you'll probably find on YouTube and TikTok and basically all of the different streaming sites. You may occasionally see images posted of these, but more and more it seems to be going towards the video side of things.
Yes, very, very
And so
video
you'll see
heavy.
both.
Yeah. And we're also going to bring in the discussion of AI generated patterns and advertisements for crafting materials, because that has very much been a hot button topic over the last year amongst the crafting community at large.
Yes, and be forewarned that this may be a little bit of a touchy subject. So, something to keep in mind. Everyone's going to have their own opinions on this. Obviously, we don't expect everyone to agree with us. It's just a discussion for the sake of discussion.
So we have a ton of articles and studies and sources to kind of prepare for this. They are currently listed in our YouTube description and they will be on the website. They may not appear in the feed only because there's so many links. I don't know, I lost count. There might be 10 or more links that I've already posted, and some podcast aggregators don't like that, so they may not show it. So if you want to see the full list of sources, please visit our YouTube or please visit our website.
And just kind of as a general disclaimer, anything that you see here, we do not necessarily condone it. We're not su necessarily supporting it. We're only speaking for ourselves. The podcast is not formally taking part in any of this sort of thing.
Right. And this is going to be a very visually heavy episode. You can still listen to it. We're going to do our best to kind of explain and describe things. But we do recommend viewing this on YouTube, or you can kind of do both. You can listen to it and come to YouTube to watch it, because we will have some images and videos showing up. So we're going to start with what is AI cosplay? And you kind of already said it. It's essentially like when someone uses image or video to have AI generate a costume on them.
And generally speaking, this is not a costume the person has made themselves. So it's not one that you've seen them in, not one that they own. It's from somewhere else. In fact, it may not have even been made at all by hand yet, because AI works by scraping content from digital sources. It could have been created from movie screenshots or screenshots from a TV show or a video game or just any source content where that costume has been seen. You can produce AI versions of that. So, not all of these even exist yet, or may be humanly possible for that matter. Because remember the discussions we had, speaking of the old days of cosplay, remember all of the ranting discussions that we had about seams and how people could actually put these on and wear them in real life and how you could actually make them real? All of these are kind of still a problem with AI because the AI generated ones won't necessarily be realistic if the source material is not also realistic and comes from people having actually physically made these things. So that is still kind of a thing.
And the AI cosplay really has been like a growing trend on TikTok, at least over the past couple of months. Some of these accounts do list themselves as AI, or that AI has been used in the video or the image. But even with the AI tag, some viewers have been fooled into thinking that it's real because the AI generative tools are getting better and better at tricking the human eye.
It can be really hard to tell, even if you're looking for it, like the different tells that something is AI, because there used to be a lot of tells, and there are getting fewer and fewer and fewer now. And realistically, there aren't any rules for it formally, necessarily on every platform. But if something is AI generated, AI assisted, that sort of thing, you are supposed to label it as such. Like tag it, put it in the title, something that tells you that this has AI as part of it. Not everybody does it, and not every platform enforces it. So just because you see something and it's not labeled as such, it might still be AI.
So a little bit more to why it's problematic, and it's something that Amber has already touched on, is the fact that it could be scraping off from other people's existing work, and a lot of times that is done without any consent of the original artist or the writer. It's doing it to other cosplayers too. We've seen some incredible cosplays in our entire lifespan of cosplaying, and knowing that those images of those cosplayers is potentially being used to generate these images without their consent is a huge blow to us as creatives.
And it's not even necessarily the same costume. There may be changes made to it as the AI generator is applied to it, but the fact is still that the source material did come from the actual cosplayer's account. And it's kind of a catch-22 because your first gut reaction to this might be, well, let me take all my photos down. Well, for one, the content has already been scraped by all the AI engines. Like that content is long gone. But also because that's how people market themselves as cosplayers. It's how you show off your portfolio. It's how you get your name out there for being a guest at conventions, and it's how you show off your pride in your work. And so you may not want to take those photos down, even though you know that AI is scraping them for this sort of thing. And so there's kind of pros and cons to both of those things.
Yeah, it's a hard situation, and I definitely feel for the cosplayers who make a living out of their cosplay. Like, you have to have social media presence to promote your work, to promote yourself, to ensure that you get those, securing your spot at a convention as a guest, or to get that next commission. You have to post that stuff online, and you really don't have a recourse if AI comes in and scrapes that data.
So it's a tough decision to make, and the models themselves that are doing the scraping, that are doing the analyzing and the transformation and such are not perfect by any means.
Right.
They have their own biases, they have their own flaws. These are pretty publicly well-known problems that are still taking place with AI. And so that's also a consideration to have, and it's something that unfortunately just we as creators don't really have a lot of control over.
And this one really hits me deeply is the environmental impact that generative AI has. And it was something that's been discussed a lot more lately, but it's becoming much more in our public consciousness about how devastating this is impacting our finite resources on this planet. There's one article in particular that I want to pull from the AP News where it says that large centers could consume up to 5 million gallons of water a day. Which, if you want to put that into perspective, that's roughly about the same amount of daily water needed for a town of 50,000 people. Or you can equate it to a bottle of water every time you use ChatGPT. That is a ridiculous amount of water. And this is water that is necessary for day-to-day life. I mean, pretty much every living creature on this planet needs water to survive. And it's not something that can be easily replenished, especially potable water, which is what we need in order to ensure that it's safe for us to drink or to use to clean ourselves or to cook and what have you.
And we haven't even gotten into the inclusion of such images and videos and things like cosplay build posts
Yes,
online or
yes.
cosplay portfolios, things where you're basically misrepresenting your work and saying, I did this or I did this thing this way, and you didn't actually do it that way. It didn't come out looking like that sort of thing. And it's deceptive, and the judges may not be able to tell the difference, especially if you aren't upfront as a cosplayer and say, you know, this was AI assisted. To do it without disclosure, to do it to be deceptive, is definitely something that we need to think about as a community, especially if we're trying to be inclusive and make sure that people of all skill levels, all economic abilities, you know, everybody can compete on a level playing field. And that's what we want to try and have as a community.
One thing that I have personally noticed, and this is just anecdotal, I don't have any concrete evidence on this, is I've noticed that more and more cosplay competitions are now requiring cosplayers to have progress video as well as progress images to kind of help curb some of this AI generative content. So it's like, oh, here's the image, but then here's the final costume. Those are two different things that don't look the same. So, and to ensure that you, as the maker, are the one who is creating the costume, not a generative AI tool.
Yes, and as you'll see in some of our examples, the video is getting really good too,
Man, the videos are
which
getting
is
so
a
good.
thing. And you can even produce those sorts of videos for cosplay meetups where it has nothing to do with competition. You just get a group of people together who are fellow fans of the same show, and then poof, you're suddenly all wearing amazing costumes from the show, which is, you know, fine and good for fandom, but just again, also bear in mind where that came from, how that was produced, and how it gets used.
So a little bit about how this affects cosplay and crafting. And this is more of a personal opinion, but for me, part of what cosplay is the act of putting on the costume and transforming yourself into the character. And this could be a full outfit. This could be just makeup. This could be just wig. Your call on it. But I think that that act of transformation and getting yourself into the costume is what makes cosplay cosplay. And when you remove that element, it's no longer cosplay.
And at least for me, as somebody who's really into making things myself, and I realize that not everybody can do that, and I acknowledge this, but for those that can, or even for those that purchase and then want to put their own personal touch on it, there's something like really, I know, visceral. There's something really personal and hands-on about being able to craft your own costume, to put your own personal touch on that costume and not just have it be an impersonal, a digitally created creation. Like, as a fan, part of how I show my fandom is me actually creating things to show that fandom.
Yeah, same.
And it's very special to me. So it kind of cheapens it just a little bit to have AI create this wholesale out of cloth when, you know, we had to spend literal decades learning how to make it real, how to actually make these things, how to perfect these things, and then developing our own sense of style to go with it.
And there is an art behind, even if you're not somebody who wants to craft, and there's an art behind going to thrift stores and putting together pieces to make your costume, or going to your local clothing store or what have you. All of that is its own type of art. And I think that's also very important to point out too, that you don't have to be a classical maker where you're a seamstress and you know how to do wigs and you know how to cobble your own shoes, and you don't have to do all of that. You can still be a valid cosplayer by going through thrift stores and putting together your costume that way. There's some impeccable concepts that people have come up with just by running around through Goodwill and seeing what they can come up with. But that's part of cosplay too. It's that human element of it, of finding the pieces and putting those pieces on your body.
And we should clarify that there is never any expectation that to be a cosplayer, you have to be good at all of those things or even any of those things. That also goes as judges at competitions. You are not expected as a cosplayer to be good at everything. That's not the point. So if you aren't good at wigs, if you aren't good at makeup, if you aren't good at prosthetics, if you aren't good at sewing or prop making or whatever it is, don't feel bad. That's not the expectation. The only expectation is that you enjoy doing it. And yes, there will be some times when you don't enjoy doing it, because sometimes you just have to put in the work and it's frustrating and blood, sweat, and tears and all that stuff. Understand, it's not always going to be 100% fun 100% of the time.
Yes.
But in the end, it should be overall enjoyable.
Absolutely.
That's all.
The other thing that I wanted to bring up too with this section is my concern that the generative AI will fool people into thinking that it's reality and thus discourage them from trying cosplay. They'll see that and think, oh, this looks so good. I can't get to that level, so why should I try? And we're at a time where hobbies are so important now more than ever. And I don't want to see people get discouraged from trying something because a generative AI image looked too perfect.
I mean, I've already been in those shoes where I see somebody else do a cosplay I wanted to do incredibly well in real life. This is even before AI was a thing. And I was just like, well, someone's already like hit the pinnacle of that character. There's no point in me trying to do it because I'll always fall short. Don't. Please don't think that way. It's not a healthy way of thinking. It's not a fun way of thinking, and it's not inclusive. And we really need to be inclusive in the community. And so that's one thing. But the other is that nothing says there can only be one of any character
Absolutely.
In the fandom. There can be so many variations and varieties. If you want to do a closet cosplay, if you want to do pajamas, if you want to do, you know, beach cosplay of a character, please feel free. Please do those things. And just because there's an AI image of somebody in a costume doesn't mean anyone's already made it. And even if they have, who cares? Make it anyway. Make it yours.
There's something in the Vocaloid community that says all Mikus are valid. All cosplays are valid. And you know what the best thing is when you go to a Sailor Moon meetup and you see 50 Sailor Plutos. It is the coolest thing in the universe. I love it when I see 100 other people wearing the same costume as me, because that means that's a chance for me to form a community and make that bond with 100 potential people, because we all like the same dorky thing. That's awesome. It's a fantastic feeling.
It's a great way to geek out.
Yeah.
And speaking of making things, making your own, or making it your own, why don't we talk about AI and patterns?
Yeah, patterns.
Which is a very controversial topic, generally.
It's patterns and advertisements, and this section is geared more towards the whole crafting community because it affects everybody who is a maker in some form or another. It's not just cosplay. And the thing is, AI patterns and advertisements are everywhere now. You can go on YouTube right now and type in AI sewing pattern, and you will find loads of videos covering how AI patterns are infecting the landscape. You don't have to go far to find these, and it's very common on crafting subreddits to have people ask, like, is this an AI pattern? I want to know I'm buying a legit pattern. Is this AI? They are everywhere.
Sometimes they don't even know if it's AI. Sometimes they'll say, hey, can you find me this pattern? Mm-hmm. I really like this thing and I want to make, you know, my version of it.
Yeah.
Or they'll say, hey, I found this pattern on Pinterest. I can't find a website for it. Can you give me something similar? And unfortunately, the very first response is, because there are people who are really good at spotting them, mm-hmm. is, sorry, this is AI. You won't be able to find a pattern for this. But here are some similar ones if that person happens to know of any. And this is on all sorts of websites where, when cosplay first started out, you basically had to draft your own patterns because there weren't really pattern sharing sites where you could buy patterns that had been made by somebody else for a character that you wanted to have a costume of. And nowadays you have things like Etsy, you have Heikutsu, you have all of the different companies where you can get patterns that have been made by people, not necessarily like the big four companies, but just individual crafters who have said, hey, you know, I made this costume for this character. Here's the pattern I used to make it. And you sell it for like $5, $10. Well, that was great when cosplay first kind of got off the ground. But nowadays, if you go on Etsy and you start looking for cosplay patterns for insert character here, you are highly likely to find more AI patterns than human created patterns for anything, for any character and just anything in general. And like I said, not all platforms enforce that you have to tag them as such. Mm-hmm. And so you may not know that it's AI. And so something else that you'll see in those same forums where you see people posting asking for these patterns is you'll see people who have posted, who have purchased these patterns, did not know it was AI, tried to make it. And then they post the results and they say, this looks nothing like the pattern that I just received. What gives?
Yeah, or what did I do wrong?
And everybody, of course, will chime in. Exactly. And people will, again, chime in. You know, we're sorry, this is an AI pattern. Yep. This was generated by a computer. The steps don't make sense. I'm sorry, it's not going to turn out the way that the perfect graphic on the front, of course, shows, because the pattern is not for that. And that, you know, like we said, is for any craft, but it's also true for cosplays, for costumes. Mm-hmm.
That's actually a good transition into why it's a problem, because one of the big issues is having a bad pattern can be really discouraging for first timers who are just getting into the hobby. And this can be for knitting, crocheting, sewing, you name it. Because then it becomes, well, is it me or is it the pattern? And more often than not, you're probably thinking, oh, it's got to be me. I just don't understand how to make these things. I'm not good at it. So I'm not going to do it anymore. And it gives off the false impression that the hobby is too difficult. And there are some aspects of the hobby that are challenging, but if you're willing to put in the time, the effort, and learn, it actually can be kind of a breeze over time. The more that you learn, the more that you do the thing, the better that you become at it. And by having this mindset of, oh, it's gotta be me, it can't be the pattern, we lose so many potential wonderful makers because AI patterns have convinced them that they can't craft.
And it can also be not only internally discouraging, but for those who have sewn before, you know that the old adage is you measure twice, cut once.
Yes.
Well, if you're going through this AI pattern and you're following the instructions exactly as given, which is what you do for any pattern, including those from the big four, and you end up measuring out the pieces, you out as you need to, you cut them out, and then as you're sewing together, you find that they don't fit the way you
Yeah,
expect
they
them
don't
to or that
match
the
up.
pattern shows. Unless you are a very experienced sewer, generally you're not going to be able to save that, especially if it's too small, because you can't add fabric on very easily and certainly not invisibly. And so what that ends up as is that you end up having to purchase the materials all over again and start over. And obviously you wouldn't want to do that two or three times to figure out, it's not you, it's the pattern, but you've already wasted all of these resources trying to, cut out fabric pieces that now you can't use for anything else except scrap because the pattern was not for what the image says it was, which is, of course, deceptive advertising, but setting that aside, it's very expensive, especially if you're working with, say, expensive fabrics or expensive adhesives or, specialty threads and specialty embroidery that you have to use. That can get expensive very quickly. And so you want your pattern to be proven that it's going to work not only the first time, but every time, and it's going to look like the image that's on the cover to the maximum extent possible, obviously.
Yeah, kind of hopping off of that, one of the big things that we as cosplayers did in the early days, in the olden days, if we did use patterns from like the big four pattern companies, we would have to Frankenstein them to kind of get what we wanted. We have to add here or like take things away there. But learning how to do that is a skill that takes time. If you're wanting to use a pattern fresh off of Etsy or fresh out of the pack, and you need to make adjustments, that's something that you have to learn. You can't just do it on the fly and assume that it'll work. So one of the issues with AI patterns is because all of the settings and the fittings are inconsistent, it can be incredibly challenging to edit and therefore adding to it being discouraging for first-time sewers. Like, how, I must be doing something wrong. I don't understand what this pattern is all about. It could be that the instructions are unclear, that the grain lines are in the wrong direction. I've seen that one happen a lot where they say cut on this way, but then cut on this way, and then they're inconsistent. So one size is kind of more stretchy than the other, which, yeah, that's going to make them for some funky scenes. It's time-consuming, it's challenging. And for newcomers, they may not be aware of that process, and so that'll discourage them even more from trying.
And to Sakura's point in chat, this is why you make a muslin first.
Yes.
You don't actually cut into the real fabric first, you make a mock-up. And it doesn't have to be muslin, it can be any fabric that you want, or even newspaper if that's what you've got around. But you always make, you make a trial version of it first, just to make sure that everything works out the way it's supposed to. And if you need to make those changes that Val talked about earlier, then you do it at that stage rather than trying to save that really expensive fabric that you bought in the end. And something else, speaking of, alterations, is that AI patterns don't tend to be very good at including alterations for, say, different sizes, different sleeve variations, different collar variations, things that you would expect to find in one of the big four patterns or even from any legitimate pattern company. They will have those things. They will have additional sizes included that have the correct alterations so that it fits a person of that size or of those proportions. And it will have all of the different changes you need to make for variations in the different parts of that particular outfit, whether you need to raise or lower the waist, the bust, the waistline, like any of that stuff, even hems, the pattern should have that accurately already done for you. You shouldn't have to do custom alterations unless custom proportions. And then those of us that have that problem just kind of live with it. But other than that, the pattern should have that for you already. AI is just not good at it.
Yeah, what people do in order to generate these patterns is they put in the prompt that says, I want a shirt with princess seams, a V-neck, and like 3/4 length sleeves, and that's what gets generated. And then you might be able to tell it, okay, I want it in US size 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, blah, 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 blah. The thing that makes it so difficult to work with is that these patterns are most likely not tested and properly vetted by humans to ensure that it actually works. That the instructions are clear, the sizing is correct, all that jazz. And I don't want to say everybody because there may be some vendors that do actually test it, but more often than not, they don't. And you can see that by a lot of the pattern reviews of this doesn't fit, this doesn't work, the sizing is incorrect. I mean, it's so easy for them to put it together. Why would they bother doing the testing? Just put it out there, somebody will end up buying it.
And even if you specify in the prompt and you say, I want US size 12, 14, 16, 18, 22, that doesn't necessarily mean that the model is limited to only having trained on US patterns size 14, 16, 18, 20, 22. It trained on patterns from all over the world in all different sizings. And so what it may do, instead of just starting with this narrow set of things and then picking out what you want, it will start with this broad class of things, put together a generic pattern based on all of the different patterns for a shirt around the world, and then try and size it as a US size, whatever you told it. And it doesn't always work because there's a reason why patterns are labeled as international, because they may have a different cut, different sizing, they'll have different measurement units. So it may be in metric instead of in material. And that makes a massive difference. If you've tried sewing with any of these other patterns, you have to do conversions to make it fit because that's what you want. And it may not always be obvious, especially if the pattern isn't labeled in units, which again, the AI doesn't always do. It doesn't always give you a label in units. And so it's like, is this centimeters? Is this inches? Is this millimeters? Is
Millimeters,
this
yeah.
sizes? You never know because it's supposed to be a set of instructions. That's all a pattern is. It is a set of instructions. And if you don't have sufficient instructions to do a thing, then you have to take a guess. And sometimes you don't always guess correctly.
There is an art form
And it's
to
not
being.
your
No,
fault.
it's really not your fault. And I will say, just as a general rule, you have to learn how to read a pattern before you use a pattern. I don't think most people are aware of this if
Yes.
you're a first timer. And literally, you can go to YouTube and you can find a bunch of great tutorials that take 10 minutes to tell you exactly how to read a pattern so you know exactly what you're getting into and how to follow it step by step. You don't have to know what a French seam is. You don't know how to do this or this or this. You can learn about it as you go, especially like the good patterns will tell you step by step exactly what to do. But you do need to have a basic understanding of how to read a pattern in order to know how to make the thing happen. AI patterns don't do that. They don't give you that step by step to really help you understand what's going on.
Right. And so, given all of these issues that obviously you've heard us talk about with AI patterns and how they can trip up both experienced and less experienced sewers, you probably are asking, well, how the heck am I supposed to tell the difference if even experienced people can't tell the difference online? And people have to go and post online and ask, is this AI? Like, it kind of blows my mind that we already have to do that we have to ask if this is AI, because that means that's how good it's gotten. But like we had mentioned earlier in the episode, there are certain tells, and they will be different by craft. And so if you're, say, looking at crochet patterns, there are certain nitpicky things that someone who has crocheted before would know to see in the pattern. Like if it looks too perfect, if all the stitches are too even, if it blurs around certain joints that you would normally see very crisp edges around, like those generic sorts of tells will be slightly different for each type of craft. And so for sewing, for cross stitch, for crochet, for knitting, for welding, for anything like that, basically if anything looks too perfect or it looks too even as though a human had not done it, because humans are not 100% consistent either, then that is probably one of the biggest tells. And then second, for any craft, if you see blurring, if you see any sort of lack of clarity or pieces of it seem to flow together where they wouldn't normally in real life, and you don't have to have knowledge of the craft to be able to see that. You'll see like green flowing into blue where it
Really
shouldn't,
shouldn't, yeah.
where if I was looking at a real object, I wouldn't expect it to. So you can look for general things like that to be able to at least tell at a glance that something is probably AI generated. And you can always ask the seller, was this generated by AI? Was it assisted by AI? Because they may tell you it's not generated by AI.
But it
That
could
doesn't
be.
mean AI was not used.
Right.
Right. And so you can ask if it was either generated or assisted, both. And if they are honest, then they should respond to you. And sometimes if they ghost you, or if they delete your comment or your question, or they delete their account and just disappear, that is probably also a flag.
There, one thing that I have included in our show notes is this fantastic overview on the sewing subreddit on how to spot AI patterns. And one of the big red flags, especially with Etsy, is you will find that the website, well, the seller, I should say, will always have the patterns on sale for like 50, 60, 70% off. Like they're $1.49 when they're originally $7.50, but they're always on sale. That's usually a big red flag of this is AI. Or they'll do like bundles. They'll put 10 patterns together for $3. Big red flag there. Patterns should never be that cheap unless it's like a one-time sale or like a store closing or something of that nature. But when it's all squished together like that, no go. The other one is if it looks like it's a professional photo, more often than not, an actual seller will have multiple shots of the garment in like different, see, like you'll get a front shot, you'll get a side shot, you get a back shot. So that way you get a full 360 view of the garment. And usually, if you spend that kind of money on a professional shoot, you want to show off more photos than less. More often than not, like the AI patterns only have one or two images. That's really weird. They should be having multiple images if they're taking the time to do a quote unquote professional shoot.
And speaking of that, something else to look for is, do they even have a photo of the finished product at all?
Yeah, a lot of them don't.
Because AI will often either not have a photo at all of the finished product, it will just be the pattern, or it will be kind of a blurry, like digitized, almost as though you're viewing it through a filter, that kind of a photo, where it's not like I took a picture of a physical item in my hands. It does not look like that. And if it doesn't look like that is a flag.
Big flag.
And something else for is the background, because like Val said, if you have a professionally staged photo shoot, it's probably going to have a certain type of background. There will be like people in the background, trees in the background, there will be outside, it will be indoors with like a little setup that's out in front. AI photos tend to have very little background, if at all, so it will basically just be one solid color in the back, or it might just be a monochromatic countertop or table that doesn't have other things in the shot that show you that it's real life. It just looks like a staged shot that somebody had on a table. And chances are good that professional sellers are going to stage their shots. They're going to have other related products there, or they will pose it so that it's doing something that that thing would be doing. Say if it's a plushie, then they'll have like a little bunny in a little backyard garden or something. Like they'll stage the shot. AI is really bad at that. And even if it has those things, they're blurry.
They're
So
very
again, if you see
blurry.
weird blurs in the shot, if you see those weird things in the shot, basically overall, if it sounds too good to be true, if it looks too good to be true, if it doesn't look 100% real and physical, like somebody actually went and did the thing, it at least merits question. It doesn't mean it is AI, but at least you should ask.
With the backgrounds in particular, because I've seen more AI patterns start to use like cityscapes or these forest fantasy settings for all of your medieval garb. It tends to have like this weird use of the smudge tool at times, like on cars or on buildings, or especially like on letters on awnings. So that way you can't really see what the name of the quote unquote business is because it's all smooshed together as one large blur. Fun stuff. Should I go ahead and get us into our fun game of briefly how to spot AI patterns?
Sure.
Here we go, kids. I went ahead and pulled a couple of these. These are from Etsy. I thought this would be a good handy way for us to kind of point out why this is AI and what we should be looking at. And I specifically, as far as these examples, I didn't focus on the background, but if you did take a look at the background, you could easily see where there are issues with like the names on the awnings or the way the cars are set up or even like the way that the street is set up, you look at that and go, that's a little too perfect. That can't possibly be real. So here's the first
Let's
image.
say there are no prizes.
There
There
are
are
no
no
prizes
prizes
in
for
here.
this. We're sorry you didn't win anything.
But a lot of the things that Amber was talking about are demonstrated in this first image. It's seeing that the fabric is kind of warping and melting into each other in very odd or unusual ways. My favorite part of this is the way the fabric design changes. Like it goes from this checkerboard pattern to polka dot. That's not normal
Yes.
on any fabric whatsoever. That is so strange and unusual. The other big thing too with AI models, AI still is terrible about hands. Always check the hands. The thumbs always are cut off or weird, or they have like a very obvious copy paste on the nails that looks like it was done with MS Paint. Check the hands, check the hands.
At least if it is a human being, check the hands. So if you're looking at like a plushie or something, the hands probably aren't going to be as helpful to you. But even if it doesn't have, say, extra fingers on the hand, because they've actually gotten better about that, you can check for the proportion of the fingers.
Yes.
Maybe the thumb is way too long compared to all the other fingers. Maybe the pinky is just missing straight up or hidden behind something
yep.
because it can't generate an accurate picture of it. So when you look at the hand, it may not just be your six fingers on it. Just check for anything weird about the hand if it is a human being.
This one is funny in particular because portion of her hand, like her fingers are cut off and her left arm is longer than
yes.
her right arm. All right, let me go to the next one. This is the fun one. This is the one that I found that was cosplay specific, and I knew Amber would love the name of it because it's called Woman Cosplay Jacket Sewing Pattern, PDF Costume Pattern, Structured Coat with Shoulder Boning, Game of Battles Inspired Costume.
Game of Battles Shoulder Boning.
I had to Google shoulder boning because I have done a lot of strange things with shoulders. I have never heard of shoulder boning. I was like, I guess logically you could use boning into the shoulder.
Yes. Yes.
Is it normal?
If you
no.
really wanted to do it, correct. And you would never find that in a standard pattern. It will always be pads.
It'll be
and interfacing
in
the shoulders.
Yeah.
You will not use boning up there.
And for this particular one, like you can achieve this with interfacing. You don't have to go crazy with boning channels. This can be done with interfacing. So now that everybody has seen the image, right. Here are the problems with the image. Once again, it is the hands. Always look at the hands. My favorite parts are the zippers. There are two zippers on this. There's a front zipper and a back center zipper. Why there are two zippers, I am not entirely certain, because the back one is completely superfluous. And what makes it even better is that it doesn't go all the way up to the collar. It's like below the collar. So even if you were to like zip up just the front and you had to go through the back, you would have a heck of a time getting your head through the neck hole. Just saying.
Right. You kind of also have to look at whether or not the piece of clothing would logically actually like
yes
kind of like cosplay
yeah
can you put it on
can you logically
can
put
you
that
actually
on?
Wear the thing
it's
right
the double zipper got me and I just broke on that one. Other favorites are the boots merge with the pants, like the boots and the pants are one item when it's very clear that they should be two separate
hey,
items
jumpsuit.
Good stuff. The fabric is warping towards the bottom of this jacket. And then obvious AI marker at the bottom right corner of the screen is very obvious. There's a little star thing. I'm like, oh, that's an AI marker. They didn't even bother
yes.
to crop that out.
AI is still not really all that great about one, cropping out copyright marks. So that's something that people can do in terms of defense is you can digitally mark your crafts and AI is still not good about removing those yet. But the other is that it's just really not good with physics.
No.
So like the movement of fabric, the movement of people, the movement of objects, it's not good at it yet.
All right. So the next set of images, I'm focusing on specifically advertisements from fabric companies, as well as from like other sewing companies or Notions, because this is also getting into advertisement territory with generative AI. And it's making it difficult to ensure that the products that you are buying, the materials you are buying, is actually what you are receiving. So the image in this case is a row of linens on like a coat rack to just kind of show the drape of the linen, show how nice that they are. So you guys have seen the image. Here's the problem with the image. So all of those hooks at the top are swirling and melting into each other, and they're melting into the fabric. It's very strange and unusual, and it's part of the melting thing that Amber has mentioned previously. The fabric is bleeding and melting into each other on the folds and the edges. And my favorite...
This is like Salvador Dali's dream.
It's kind of getting that way, yeah, because my favorite part is there is this wicker basket as like just a decorative element. All I've typed in here is what is even going on with this basket, because it has multiple weaves that would never connect to each other. And this is just one of those weird things that... If you don't know about basket weaving, you probably wouldn't have noticed it, but it's got these odd pieces that are just sticking out of nowhere, and you would never see that on a basket. There is the center weave line to kind of break the top and the bottom half, But the way that it's woven together just does not make sense. And even if you don't know anything about basket weaving, it just looks unnatural. And then there's a corner of it where it gets kind of mushy. The basket's not right. That is correct. Next image. So this one is a quilting image. And this whole, the next three images or the next four images is what is going on with the sewing machines? Because they look so incredibly confusing and do not exist in reality. It is so heartbreaking to see these because this is a website that is supposed to sell these crafting supplies, and the crafting supply that they are showing is not, does not exist. So look at the sewing machine, look at the beautiful quilt, and here are all the problems going on. So the first things first is, why is the thread spool where it is? So for those who are wondering, the way this quilting machine is set up is the thread spool is right above the needle. So first off, I have no idea how you attach it. And I admittedly don't know everything about quilting. I have seen a lot of standard quilting machines for home sewers. I went on a hunt for commercial quilting machines just to see, like, maybe this is a style of machine I have never seen before. I want to give this a fair shot. I spent 30 minutes trying to look for something that looked remotely close to this, could not find anything. So I'm pretty sure at this point, I'm like, yeah, they just made this up. The other thing too that gave it away was that the machine has two throat plates. You don't need that ever. And then there is this weird black wire that's coming out of the machine, hiding behind the thread, and then going off to the right of the image. We don't know what that thing is. It looks like
an internet receiver. Clearly.
Is that what it is?
Like bunny ears.
It's bunny ears. That's what it is. And then, of course, there is
the only one ear.
The infamous fabric warping at the corners, because, you know, that has to happen.
Again, AI is not good at physics and fabric.
No. Next image is, these are my favorites, is when the AI has us sewing backwards, AKA the person is behind the machine and trying to sew.
Yes. Yes. Which I will say, in my life, I have never even had the notion cross my mind to ever turn my machine around and try and do it the other way. Like, why would that cross your mind, let alone be an actual technique?
I don't know. I understand from a visual marketing perspective that you want to show off the machine. And if somebody is in front of the machine, that makes it much more difficult. Uh-huh. But then you change up the shot so that way the machine is visually appealing and the person is there and it works in tandem. Maybe they're not sewing directly underneath the machine, but maybe there's a fabric there and they're off to the side doing something else that would be in conjunction with the machine. This one in particular, what makes it extra funny to me is obviously the hands. The hands you could see by her pinkies. There's no thread. There's no thread going through the machine. So she's sewing invisible with invisible thread and an invisible bobbin, which is hilarious to me. Somehow using this red velvet. It's so wonderful. And then the very last image is also another one. And this one was from Michaels. Middle of 2025. This was part of a YouTube ad series where Joann's had unfortunately just closed. Michaels was showing, hey, come to us for all your craft supplies. And I remember seeing this particular ad and I was like, I need a copy of this ad because it is so funny. It was a bunch of teenage girls who are sewing and they are using the machine backwards. Also, they don't have thread in the machine. And it just, I could not stop laughing at it because I was like, you're a crafting company. You should know better than this. It is very funny. Unequivocally very funny. So there you go, guys. I hope you enjoyed learning a little bit more about how to spot AI patterns. And I will say, if you need help and ensuring that what you are purchasing, whether it's a pattern or a material or a tool, feel free to go to the crafting subreddits. Knitting, crochet, sewing, as well as CraftSnark are all fantastic about helping people spot AI. And they're more than willing to help you and say, if you don't want to use this, here's your alternative. Give them a shot. They are fantastic.
So to sum everything up, AI is here. Mm-hmm. AI is unfortunately not going to go away anytime soon, whether we want it to or not. So the question is, what do we do about it?
Right.
Now, for now, most of the time, you can give feedback to the company, especially if you recognize that it's AI, you recognize that clearly something is wrong. Just bear in mind that, again, we don't have a lot of control over this as people, because it's the companies and their marketing departments and everything else that's using the AI and the fake shops that are on the various platforms. And so when you do give them feedback, and please do, like, use their feedback forms, post on their social media, like, say, hey, we're dissatisfied
yes,
with this.
Yes.
The company may take your feedback into account and they may change. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean they're going to stop using AI, but they may actually take your feedback into account and use more real pictures or change how they use the AI. That's one thing. Bear in mind, they may also go the other route that most people are experiencing right now, which is that they delete any comments that are negative towards their use of AI. They may block you from their account. They may simply not acknowledge you. Just keep in mind that it's not necessarily a two-way conversation that you're having with the feedback.
Right.
So don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged if you don't, you know, affect change or if you don't get acknowledgement of your feedback.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing is that obviously you can vote with your money.
Yes.
You can choose not to patronize these companies. Yes. Now, again, something to keep in mind, AI is not going away. And most of the large companies at this point are going to all be using AI. So just be careful with that, in that you may have to make the decision whether or not you want to stop buying that thing entirely. Because if you choose not to give money towards companies that use AI, you may run out of companies. And so just, I'm not saying don't do it. I'm simply saying both sides of the coin, think about it, and then make your decision accordingly. So give feedback. You can spend your money accordingly. You can also ask that companies be ethical in their use of AI, so that if they are going to use it, pay creators mm-hmm. for the images that they are using to train their AI. And some companies have actually started doing this.
Yes.
Some companies do have programs where they will get consent from the artist. They will actually communicate with them. They will pay them money. That how much is up to the company. And they will try and do it in an ethical manner. There are not necessarily a lot of companies doing this right now, but you can always try and use your feedback to push them in that direction.
To kind of spin off on that too, I have noticed that more crafting companies have been listening to consumer feedback about how AI is used and are moving away from using it from some of their marketing spaces, which is great because it immediately makes me think of the Truth in Advertising Act. That's what is colloquially known here in the United States, where the image or the video that you are showing of the product needs to be a representative item of what the consumer is going to receive. And the fact that AI images are not showcasing the product and what the reality is causing a lot of pushback. And companies are starting to realize
yes.
this more, and they're going like, okay, maybe we shouldn't use it here, but we could probably use it here to make other things efficient. Like, as Amber said, unfortunately, AI is not going anywhere. It's going into everything, but there are ways that it can be done that it doesn't destroy the integrity of the product. So be mindful of where you're purchasing and who you're purchasing from. The other thing that I wanted to bring up is more of a personal thing. It's don't allow yourself to get discouraged by AI, because remember, they're using works without permission. They're utilizing a vast amount of natural resources to produce these images and videos. The art that is behind cosplay is not there by typing in a couple of words into a prompt. Making something with your own two hands, or choosing to go out and purchase items to create your costume, however you want to do it, all of that is creative and it's invaluable, and it's been linked to improving your mental health, which improves your physical health. It's been cited as a source for reducing anxiety, boosting your mental well-being. It fosters community, which is such a huge thing for all of us when it comes to cosplay. Don't worry about the AI image. The AI image is not going to be as cool as you are and the things that you can make. AI will never be able to replicate your art or your voice.
And then two other things that you can do, in addition to leaving your feedback on their social media and such, leave a review
mm-hmm.
of the product. If you buy a product and it is not as advertised, especially if you believe that it's an AI pattern, please post a review. Now, you can't control what the company does with that review. It's possible that they delete it. It's possible that they flood it with bots. It's possible that they legitimately accept it and let it stand. But do make the effort to leave that review. post pictures, most importantly, of the result that you got, so that other people, as they are shopping, because other people will also read your reviews because they want to know, like, is this actually a good product? Is this worth my money and my time? Do you actually get what the pattern says that it's going to make? And if you post a picture that shows clearly it does not make what is on the envelope, then you will have also saved other people from making the same mistake, even though, yes, it is frustrating you had to go through that. But at least the silver lining is you helped other people not also have to do that.
Exactly.
So please do leave feedback and reviews where you can.
Mm-hmm.
The last thing, and kind of a last resort, is if wherever you live does have a commission or a regulatory body that does have jurisdiction over these things, you can report that company as false advertising to that entity, whether you're in the United States, whether you're in the EU, whether you're other places around the world. There may be a body to which you can report and, like, give screenshots and say, this was deceptive, this is AI, here's what you actually get, and basically detail the results to it. Can't guarantee anything will come of it, but at least you've exercised what remedies are available to you. And that's the only way anyone's going to know these things are happening, because sometimes these stores are so ephemeral that they will pop up, they will sell 20 AI patterns, and then they will disappear off the internet as though they never existed. And then another one will pop up from that same buyer, different name, lather, rinse, repeat. And so sometimes the only way people know that they're out there is if they're reported.
You do you, make things, go be creative. Whatever your creativity is, we support it, because cosplay is for everyone. Don't worry about the AI. Go make something cool.
Make cool things, meet cool people.
Yes.
Be cool people.
There you go. It's a fantastic way to wrap that up.
Cool. All right. Well, of course, we know that there are people in our audience who have very strong feelings and thoughts about AI
Yes.
and its use in patterns and cosplay and everything that we've discussed here. So, of course, if you would like to join in the conversation via any of our social media, feel free to leave a comment, and you can find our information here.
For those who are watching, all the information is located underneath Amber and below in our notes. For those who are listening, visit us on cospod.org, on Facebook and Instagram as Cosplay Podcasts, on YouTube as Cospodcasts, and on Blue Sky as Cospod.
You can also email us, if you are more comfortable with that, podcast@cospod.org, which is now working once more. And of course, you will get an answer from each one of us, along with Nick Cage memes, for the new year.
Yay.
Otherwise, please stay safe. Stay healthy out there. We know the flu is going around everywhere
at
this point. Please stay healthy so that we can all see your smiling, shining faces at a convention local to us ASAP. Otherwise, keep working on those cosplays. We will see you all next time in episode 312. Happy cosplaying, everybody.
Bye, everyone. Happy season 15.